Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude part two of our study of Galatians 4, 19 and 20, titled Casting Doubt on Your Profession.
We're to examine ourselves, and that's not saying you to examine the guy next to you or the girl behind you. It's examine yourselves. You have to look at yourselves and do some soul search. Am I really a believer? Or am I a game player? Because Judgment Day, the game's over. Now's the time to get things right. That's why Paul's saying this right now. Whether ye be in the faith. I mean, if you're saved, you're saved. But if you're not, you're not.
There you go.
I sound like a Jennyism there. This is a picture of a professing Christian who believes in vain. This is just a word picture or a graphic picture.
Boys, we have an inspirational story for you.
Yeah, be prepared to be motivated because we're going to meet Peter Hedgema. Now, when he was only 31 years old, so young, doctors had told him that they discovered a cancerous tumor on his liver. Now, for most people, that would be just devastating news, looking forward to the years of painful surgeries and treatments. But not Peter. No, Peter stood up to the doctors and he said no. He refused to accept that he had cancer.
And now Peter and his wife, Rhonda, are here this morning to share with us how he bravely overcame his cancer diagnosis. Welcome to the both of you.
It's nice to be here.
Good to see you, Peter. Now, when most people are diagnosed with cancer, they just give up. But you decided to fight.
Six different doctors told me I had cancer, but I didn't listen to any of them.
How did you find that courage to ignore them?
I made this promise to myself to never look at those x-rays, and well, I never did, Jim. Yeah. I never will, ever.
Well, that's amazing resolve you have, because they try to shove them right in front of your face.
That's right, that's right. Here, take a look. Yeah.
If I listened to those doctors, I'd probably be in a hospital bed right now. Instead, I'm here with you guys.
That takes so much courage.
Wow, because those hospitals, boy, they can be negative places.
Yeah, oh yeah. You go there to get sick.
That's right.
It's such a heroic thing you're doing, Peter.
Yes.
No, I'm not a hero. The men and women who actually have cancer, they're the real heroes.
Peter, I think you're a hero.
No, I don't see any expiration date written on here.
And he's kept his sense of humor, too. It's incredible. So, Peter, from what I understand, you've just completely lived your life after the diagnosis as you did before. No changes in anything, not even your diet.
No, I didn't take even a single vitamin. Not even medicine, because, you know, medicine is what sick people take.
Exactly.
Rhonda, he must be such an inspiration to you. Yes.
Right. I understand you've been going to hospitals with him to visit other cancer patients.
Yes, yes. Well, Peter talks to all the patients. He talks to anyone who's diagnosed with cancer. He just says to them, you don't have to listen to what the doctors tell you. Just look at me.
Must be such an inspiring story for them to hear. Wow.
Peter, what kind of... Peter?
Well, that's all the time we have for this segment. Now, Peter, Rhonda, thank you very much for coming in. We're going to take a little break right now.
That's right, coming up. We're going to be ignoring a rat some more.
Stay tuned.
It's a spook. It's not real, okay?
Yeah.
That's and listen. All right. And first of all, as unreal as that is, that's going on in charismatic churches all over the country right now. People are diagnosed, and they're told if they accept the diagnosis, they lack faith. They are to speak healing, speak healing, and you will be healed. Speak it in faith. That's witchcraft. That is not Bible. And that's a con game. It's to sucker you out of your money. But it is also true about people who will not listen when you try to tell them that they are a sinner and need to be saved. You can actually see where preachers are talking to these sodomites in their pride parades, and they look at them saying, you're telling me what I'm doing is wrong. Yeah. I'm telling you what you're doing is a sin. And they refuse to accept what the Bible says, and they refuse to accept that it's a sin. And that's what we're dealing with in this generation. I'm telling you, As crazy as that guy seemed to you, that's your generation. Talking about your generation. Crazy. Nutty. I'm out there just trying to talk to people on the street, and I'm telling you, the majority of people are that man right there. They will not listen to you when you confront them with their need of salvation. We're just a bunch of glorified monkeys on our way to being dirt. Yes. That's what most of them are believing today. You can't give them a diagnosis of sin. And they're going to just drop dead, just like that guy, only they'll wake up in hell. The moment they die. That's the reality. Have you heard people applauded for being a believer? How many people hear this? What got you through that situation? It was my faith. My faith brought me through. Folks, your faith is not what's going to bring you through. Jesus is going to bring you through.
Amen.
Putting your faith in your faith is witchcraft. Putting your faith in Jesus Christ is gospel.
Amen.
And you have all these celebrity Christians on TV talking about how, oh, it was my faith that got me through this. What was your faith in? A believer in what? I've heard people I knew rejected the gospel, and when they died, the preacher got up and said, well, they were a true believer. In lies. They were a true believer, but it was in lies. You can believe something while not believing the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Say that with me. You can believe something while not believing the gospel. You can believe yourself straight into the pit. If you do not believe the gospel, it's vain. Your belief is in vain. It's a fact that some have believed in vain. Paul says so in 1 Corinthians 15. When he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Wait a minute. By which also ye are saved. Look at this big word right here. If. One of the biggest words in the Bible. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. If you are a believer, it's something that becomes a part of you. If you profess to believe and then a year or two down the road, you're off into some false religion or some false thing, and when I ask you about the gospel, you can't even tell me what it is. Your belief, in quotes, was in vain. Your belief is to be in the gospel, and if you really believe the gospel, it's not something that's going to slip your mind.
That's right.
I'm telling this to parents especially. I talk to so many of them out there. Parents want to give their kids a free ride. Just because it's your little baby. We've had this conversation about our babies. Your little baby will still go to hell if that little baby doesn't believe the gospel. And I got these parents whose kids will grow up and turn into sodomites and be living this godless lifestyle. Other than I have a friend who turned into a heroin whore, and all he did is shoot heroin and sleep with prostitutes his whole adult life. And yet, to her dying day, his mother thought he was just a wonderful little saint. See you in heaven when she died. She may be in heaven. I don't know, but he ain't going there. Not in the condition he's in right now. And he'll tell you he doesn't believe the gospel when you talk to him. But because he was 12 years old and said a sinner's prayer, I'm telling you, it's messed up. American Christianity is a mess. I mean, it's like that all over the world right now, but we're talking America right now. America is a mess, and you want to know why the White House is a mess? It's because the church house is a mess.
Amen. 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 It doesn't cost anything to believe, like in China.
Mm-hmm.
You come safe in China, you got
to go. Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem here in America. It's like, you know, oh, I'll believe if it doesn't cost me anything, you know. Yeah, sure, okay, sign me up. To believe in vain is to believe something, but not believing in the gospel. Do you get that? You believe something, but it's not the gospel. And that's to believe in vain. The verse continues to explain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Here's the part that Americans don't like, it's really that simple. But it is also exact. See, Americans don't like that. They don't like it being simple. There's got to be more to it than that. Okay? But they also don't like the fact it's exact. I want you to see something. Sin is a separator. Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
And Americans don't want confronted with their sin. And they don't want confronted with their unbelief that is sin as well. They want to believe that they can believe whatever they want to believe. Just believe. Amen? At that song, I believe for every drop of rain, a flower grows, or something like that.
Right.
That song is stupid. Just listen to the lyrics. Just believing isn't anything. You must believe the gospel. That's a pretty good Elvis impersonation, wasn't it? Yeah. Thank you very much. Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
You hate your sins when you get saved. Don't tell me otherwise. When I got saved, it was when I realized I was a pathetic human being who had sinned and put Jesus on the cross. Christ died for Greg's sins.
Amen.
And if you haven't put your name right there, you're still lost.
Amen.
I don't care how many sinner's prayers you've said, your sin, if you were the only one to have sinned in this universe, your sin put Jesus on the cross. He died for your sins and mine. And man, that's got to be preached in America today.
Mm-hmm.
And Americans will get up and walk right out of here with their snooty, stiff-necked, fake Christianity 9 times out of 10 today. There are 2 extreme errors in our day. Number one, those who add law. And that's mostly what we're dealing with in Galatians. The Galatians were adding law. No one's talking about adding anything to the gospel. We're talking about being exact. And those who delete repentance. That's a work. Baloney. You're a liar. Repentance is not a work. It's a gift of God.
Amen.
But you had got to have it or you're not saved. Because when you turn toward God, it's because you're repulsed by your sin and your unbelief. You have turned away from that toward God. It's an attitude of the heart. It's not a work. Any more than believing. You have to turn. Jesus did not come to save you and keep you in your sin. If you think you're going to be a little whore bag and then God's going to save you and you're going to stay a whore bag, I got 2 things for you. Either number one, God's going to kill you, or number two, you're not one of His children.
Amen.
Those are your 2 choices. And some of you may be doing it, and I don't know anything about it. I don't know of anybody in here who's been a whore bag. Amen.
Amen.
Okay? So if you are, I'm not preaching at you. I don't know what's going on in your personal life. Some of you may just be liars. Crooks. I don't know. I just found out in the last couple of weeks some guy that I thought I could respect was hiding a bad sin. Been doing it for a long time. I had no idea. I'm not Mr. Prophet. I'm not going to look at everybody and know what's going on in your life. That's why I've got to preach it like this. I've got to put it before everybody in here, and those who need to pay attention better pay attention.
Amen.
If you got everything right and you're walking right, praise God. But if not, listen. Stop playing your stupid games. Jesus came to save you from your sin.
Amen.
And He's going to make sure, if you're truly saved, you repent toward God with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you think you're going to hold on to sin, you're in trouble. You just like some, you know, our kids are almost all grown, but at the time we had the kids at home, they may have thought they was getting by with something. But at some point, their sin finds them out. And Daddy put it to them. Because I love them. And if you're one of God's kids, He's getting ready to put it on you. If you're living in sin and not repenting, God's going to put it on you. Amen. All I'm doing is share the message. Can you feel the love tonight? I'm just telling you this because I love you. Amen. Romans 6:22, read that. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. That's an awesome statement. We're made free from sin, not in sin, to become servants to God. Amen. As we have said many times before, we do not become sinless, but we should sin less. And God loves you enough to work on you and make it so that you sin less. He's not going to leave you there, wherever you are. A preacher who does not call on people to repent is not a follower of the Apostle Paul. Paul described his ministry in various places, Acts 20:21 being one of them, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the Pauline ministry. And what is so ironic is the men who refuse to preach repentance today, by and large, among fundamental professing Christians, they are people who call themselves Pauline or dispensationalists. They say, Paul is our apostle, and for that reason, we don't preach repentance. It's insane. Paul preached repentance. But you have to understand, is when you read Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, those letters from Paul, he's writing to people who are already saved.
Amen, that's right.
So that's why he's not hounding on repentance in every thing he addresses. He's talking to people who've already supposed to have repented. If that doesn't describe your ministry, preacher, you're a heretic. Amen. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. Are you professing that? Is that what you're testifying, preacher? Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're listening to a preacher and that's not his ministry, you're listening to a fake. If that doesn't describe your experience, Christian, then you're lost. Next time, we'll go into the Bible and repentance. We're going to do a thorough study of it. And we're going to nail it down. And I was amazed when I posted the chick track thing that you saw this morning on the YouTube thing, on Facebook, and in private messages. These people coming after me for using chick tracks, because chick tracks tells you you must be willing to repent of your sin. You see, because even some of these fake Bible-believing, King James Bible believers out there, they don't want the real gospel. They want antinomianism. They want one where God will save you. You can keep on sodomizing. Keep on lying. Keep on sleeping around. Keep on doing your drugs. Keep on doing the getting drunk, whatever. They don't want to preach the true gospel because their numbers won't be as high. Let me tell you something. People will not get saved in the numbers, I put in quotes, saved, if you preach the true gospel. You're not going to see the huge numbers. But that's not what God has called you to do. Where does the Bible say you need huge numbers? The Bible simply says for you to be honest with people and preach the truth. And that's what we're about here. Amen. We're going to preach the truth. Amen. Even when the world doesn't want to hear it. Amen. Preach the word. Be instant in season, Amen. Out of season. And that's what we're going to... It's out of season right now.
Amen.
And we're still going to preach it. Amen. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this study. And if anyone here this morning needed to be challenged, may your Holy Spirit work in their heart, put an end to the games before it's too late. And may all of us be reminded of how wonderful it is to be saved, to know that we have been born again. And we're sorry to have to admit to you, Lord, that we are not perfect in our practical Christianity, our daily walk. We make mistakes. We commit sin. But we hate sin, Lord. We don't want to sin. And we know when we do, it's simply our failure, not yours. I ask, Lord, that everyone in this room would have a renewed hatred, a renewed a renewed disgust for sin and a love for Jesus Christ, who represents all things good and holy. And may we be desirous of the Holy Spirit to take complete control of our lives. And knowing that there's coming a day when we're going to be glorified, we're going to put on the image of Jesus in fullness and be as He is.
Amen.
Be in His presence in a world where there is no sin. And we look forward to that so much. And I just ask You to bless our time as we continue in fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I'm coming home.
sure.
King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.